On Thursday night, we read Luke's version of the story in which we hear the details about Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem. And next week, we'll hear something out of Matthew, wise men enter the story. John tells it differently. John tells it more poetically. John tells it in a mystical way, without the specifics, but with the underlying truth of what it means to believe that in Jesus, God becomes flesh, what it means to believe in the incarnation of God. And this is simply one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And so we're going to read this morning John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of the blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." Here ends the reading of God's word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh God, we give you thanks for this gift of light, this life which is the light of all people, shining in the darkness, and that no matter how dark our world appears at moments, that this light can never be overcome. We pray that you would give us an experience of this light, an experience of the joy of knowing that you became flesh like us, so that we may taste and see the depth of your love for us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you're our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It seems like most of the stuff that we do at Christmas, all our traditions and customs, don't really have all that much to do with Jesus. Every year, my wife makes the traditional foods that accompany an English Christmas roast, since that is where we spend our first Christmas together as a married couple. And because it's delicious. There are roasted carrots with a touch of honey and cinnamon. There are Brussels sprouts, the butt of jokes, roasted with bacon and defying stereotypes. There's doughy Yorkshire pudding, gravy scooped up with a bite of standing rib roast, followed by sticky toffee pudding with homemade toffee sauce and whipped cream. Surely you have your favorites, your things that you eat every year. Surely at some point maybe you pushed away from the table so full that half of you regretted what just happened, but the other half of you knowing that it was worth the misery. So I love this about Christmas. We just came from Katie's parents and there was homemade toffee and I ate at least one piece every time I walked by it. But what does this really have to do with the Jesus that we remember? I love Christmas lights, too. I love it when the Christmas tree is the only light that is on in the room. I've fallen asleep on our couch for most of the last 2 weeks for that very reason. I drift off to sleep in the glow of the Christmas tree and wake up at 2 a.m. and drag myself to bed. And I justify that every night because I keep thinking it won't be long before we will have to take it down. And I love the smell of the Christmas tree. I love how when you walk into the room that it hits you, the smell of the Christmas tree. It's why I insist on a real tree. And people complain, oh, you have to vacuum up all those needles. But I really love how you vacuum up the needles, and then sometime in February when you are trying to make it through the last blast of winter, and you fire up the vacuum cleaner, and the smell of Fraser fir fills the room again. And it gives you a jolt of Christmas spirit that you need to help you get through to the spring. I love driving around with the kids and looking at the elaborate light displays. I like hanging up lights at our house, as many as my wife will let me hang. It makes me happy pulling in the driveway and seeing our lights in the bushes and the Moravian star that we hung from the porch roof this year. It's just like the one that my grandmother used to hang from her front porch. And sometimes it seems like every other house, sometimes I'll drive through a neighborhood and it seems like every other house has done something to their home for Christmas. They've hung some lights, and I wonder about whether there are this many people who are that deeply religious about Christmas, or if there's something in us that just has the instinct to light up the world. There's a house in our neighborhood that all they did was switch out the porch light bulbs to one red and one green. And I find myself wondering why so many people go to the trouble and why we have turned Christmas into a lighting competition. There's even a show that is a lighting competition. And what does that have to do with what we do in here, telling the tale of a Jesus who came to set the oppressed free, to call us to a life of sacrificial love for God and neighbor? What does it have to do with seeing who can outdo the other in the neighborhood with the biggest or the most inflatables, like a bunch of Disney characters with Santa hats? How does that correlate to the birth of Jesus? I don't know. I love the waxy feel of wrapping paper and the careful task of wrapping presents, even though I am precisely terrible at it. The other night, I sat and wrapped the last few presents in our living room. And as I did that, it became a meditative experience, wrapping the presents and thinking about the moment when those presents would be opened. And I thought about how much time and money goes into wrapping things. We even wrap up things that the person we're giving it to picked out themselves. Who even wrap up presents that are so hard to wrap that you can tell obviously by the shape of the wrapping paper what is on the inside. There's no secret there. And yet we still wrap it. We wrap it and we wrap it in ribbon and we stick a bow on it. We go to all that time and effort, and then what happens at Christmas? Like in a few moments of chaos and frenzy, right? Perfectly cut and folded paper becomes litter on the floor. Shredded and stuffed into a bag and gotten out of the way as quickly as we can. Of course, I'm an adult, but I still love the feeling of ripping open a present. Do you remember when you were a kid and the catharsis of tearing open paper of a gift that has been under the tree with your name on it for weeks? And despite your best shaking, you could not figure out what it was. And that moment when your anticipation was finally realized. So I suppose, as we talked about with the kids, that the gift of giving gifts, that the tradition of giving gifts is rooted in the Magi. But it can be hard to connect a floor full of shredded wrapping paper to a Savior that was born on the floor. I talked with the kids a few weeks ago in the children's moment about music, and we thought about our favorite Christmas songs, and it was funny because they all said hymns, which proves basically that they know the answers they're supposed to give in church.
Or they could like hymns.
Or they could like hymns, true. And it's true that some of my favorite turns of phrase belong to sacred Christmas music, particularly the song that Jeff sang on Christmas Eve, The Thrill of Hope. A weary world rejoices. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. So I can be a good Sunday school kid too, but I also love Otis Redding singing Merry Christmas, Baby. I love Bing Crosby singing, Melikalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaii. I've never been to Hawaii, much less at Christmas, but I do love that song. I love the Drifters singing White Christmas. That's the one that Kevin sings into his hairbrush on Home Alone. I love singing Jingle Bells Batman Smells with my boys. Yeah, you like that, Tess? At the top of our lungs. It's still funny, 30 years after I learned it for the first time. I think Paul McCartney is more or less a musical genius, but he must have been possessed by an evil spirit when he wrote, "We're simply having a wonderful Christmas time." But I still find that stuck in my head when I hear it over and over on the mall speakers. You listen to some of this music and you think, you know, Jesus would probably wince and throw something at the radio, like have a fit, like that moment when he turned over the tables in the temple, if he heard some of the music that has come to be associated with his birth. So all that stuff, we could say, has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus or with the life of Jesus. And that may be right. But you could also say that they are bodily experiences that go along with the moment when we remember that God got a body in Jesus. That our senses come alive, and all of a sudden, at Christmas, we taste and indulge in richness and goodness that we never do at any other time of the year. We breathe deeply, and we take in smells that transport us back to times and places when we experience the deep love of those that we hold the dearest. We sing along to the radio, even to the campy songs that we would never admit to liking in public. We bake and we cook and we suspend common sense when we indulge ourselves to have a transcendent experience of good food with good company. We give in to the instinct to put out lights, even tacky lights, even overdoing it lights, because there is something about light illuminating the darkness that brings our hearts peace and joy. We shred wrapping paper. We enjoy the tearing. Maybe because of what we hope is inside, but also because there is something about us that needs the sensory experience of realized dreams, of anticipation, the anticipation that we feel and that maybe cannot be realized in a deep cosmic sense, but it can be realized in this moment with a floor full of ecstatic shredded wrapping paper, of opening a gift for us that is so perfect that we would not have even known to ask for it. You're going to tell me that that's not connected, that feeling isn't connected to unwrapping the gift of Jesus, so deep and profound that we didn't know to ask for it? So you could say that these things have nothing to do with Jesus, but then we read John, and we remember that the Word became flesh, that God got a body like yours and mine, and that that body probably enjoyed, just like you and me, the feeling of being full. And that body probably enjoyed, just like you and me, sitting at table. We know that for a fact, that that body enjoyed sitting at table with brothers and sisters that are family, and the experience not just of eating, but eating together. God got a body. We don't know this for a fact, but I bet that body got chills when the right notes were strung together to the right words, the same way that our bodies do at this time of season. We remember in the season that God got a body. And so all of our bodily experiences, our sensory experiences of this season, are ways of honoring, of remembering this profound gift. Of remembering that the body that we have come to celebrate was himself light piercing darkness. You wonder why we have an instinct to put up lights? So, you won't get a lecture from me about doing all that stuff that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. As long as you will remember what is happening when your senses come alive, when your eyes take in something that is beautiful, when your ears hear something that you've heard a thousand times and it still strikes a chord, as long as when you taste something that is really, truly, profoundly beautiful and artful, as long as when you smell something that brings back nostalgia, that brings back a moment when you knew deeply how loved you were, as long as when your skin touches the skin of a family member you haven't seen for 2 years, you remember the profound experience of having a body. And now God has blessed our having a body by becoming a body, God's very self. So you won't get a lecture from me, not as long as you remember that we are using our bodies to know the deep joy of being able to taste and see the profound love of God. And that this love is so great that God got a body as silly and mysterious as yours and mine. Amen.